Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. It is good to be here on a beautiful day. Looking forward to what the Lord's got in store for us, and appreciate that song there. You know, when you come to Calvary, it changes everything, amen? Brother Terry Will, I spoke to him just this past week, and he's doing well. He's had some illness, sickness, since he was here with us last. For those of you who were here to enjoy that time together, it was on a Saturday morning. We did a special seniors honoring breakfast, and we had a wonderful time together. But he'll be back later on this year for a full-blown Sunday morning service, and it'll be a great time. I trust you. You will enjoy that. He's a wonderful, wonderful man of God, and truly blessed with a wonderful talent. Today's message is called "Why All the Groaning." Now, you know, you think, man, what in the world? Why all the groaning? Well, we'll take this passage from the book of Romans, chapter 8, and look at what was written here that really, really speaks about what things are going on today. And a couple of little humorous things here I want to share with you. I don't know if you could turn me down just a little bit, brother. It's a little echoey. I said, one day a school teacher was asking her first grade class about whales and the significance of what a whale was and all kinds of different things. And this one little girl, she raised her hand and she said, "Do whales swallow people?" And the teacher said, "Absolutely not." She said, "There's no way." She said, "There's things in their throat and there's no way they could do it." She said, "Well, wait a minute now." She said, "Miss Thurston back at Sunday school said that Jonah was swallowed by a whale, so we need to talk about that." And the teacher got all upset. She said, "Oh, that's foolishness. You can't believe that. That whales just don't swallow people." And the little girl said, "Well, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask Jonah about that." And the teacher was really hot then, and she said, "Well, what if Jonah went to hell?" She said, "Then you can ask him." So, praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, I thought that was very good, huh? You know, from the mouths of babes. Amen. I talked about this morning, why all the groaning? Why all the groaning? Well, I saw this morning, I was looking through some different things, and this just happened to come up. And we talk about groaning, and sometimes we associate that word with complaining or different things. And as all of us are, you know, all of us are getting a little older. Not everybody, but we're all getting there little by little. Well, I understand they're going to come out with a new list of hymns for everybody that's getting older. And this is just a few of them. "Give Me That Old Timer's Religion." Oh, that's a pretty good one. "Precious Lord, Take My Hand and Help Me Up." "Just a Slower Walk with Thee." "Go Tell It on the Mountain, But Speak Up." I like that one. "Nobody Knows the Trouble I Have Seeing." Oh, "Count Your Many Birthdays, Count Them One by One." "Blessed Insurance." "It Is Well With My Soul, But My Knees Hurt." So those are going to be fun. Oh, "Why All the Groaning?" I really believe the Lord is going to speak to us in a mighty way today. You know, we are surrounded by troublesome times, and it's wonderful that we can come together and laugh and enjoy a great time in the Lord. But we also at times have to be very serious about accepting the reality of the world around us, you know, and the things that are going on. And sometimes it can be very, very, very discouraging. But I believe today, through the Word of God, if we listen to what is going on here, we can get excited and look forward to the days ahead if we listen to what God is saying here through His Word. So let's look at Romans 8, beginning in verse 18. And the Word of God says this, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." And that ought to get you excited right to start off with, but it gets better. It says, "For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption and the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For when we were saved in this hope, but hope that is not seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? Think about that. If what you see is all that there is, that's not too good of an ending, is it? Amen. Think about that. Why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we will eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. We're going to stop right there. Lord, Father, we just thank you this morning for all that you do. Thank you, Lord, for the wonderful time of worship. Thank you, Lord, for the baptism, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the ability and the freedom to come, Lord, and praise you this morning, Lord. Preach this word, Lord. Just be in fellowship with one another. And Father, now I just pray for a special anointing upon this word, Lord, that you have prepared. And I just pray now, Lord, that you would allow this servant, Lord, to display, to give, Lord, this word this morning in the manner in which, Lord, you have so prepared for this day. I just pray, Lord, for an emptying, Lord, of me and filling, Lord, with your Spirit, Father, that it would just be you as it comes forth from this body. And I just pray, Lord, that every ear, every heart, every mind, every soul, Lord, would just embrace what is said this morning, Lord, and truly, truly, truly put their arms around what it is that you have given on this day. We thank you for what you are going to do. We ask it in the mighty name of Jesus, and we all said, amen. Now, many times you have heard me say that I believe without a doubt that the best days are ahead of us. Our best days are ahead of us, and I truly believe that. But this statement holds true for all things, not just ourselves, but for all things, according to the Word of God. It holds true for all of creation. There are better days ahead for everything that God has made, for everything that God has made. The rivers, there one day they're going to flow again. And they're going to flow without any trash or without any pollution or without anything. The birds, they're going to sing brighter and louder than they've ever sang before with even a more joyous song. The flowers, they're going to shine brighter, as the Bible says, than anything Solomon with his wealth could even buy. We're going to see things that we've never believed. Trees are going to stand taller than they've ever stood before with no fear of decay or beetles or anything falling down. Everything that God has created has better days ahead. Isn't that exciting? But beyond that, everyone that God has created has better days ahead. Everyone that has accepted Christ, everyone that has come to know the Lord as Savior, everyone who is a child of the King, indeed, I'm telling you, there are better days ahead. There are better days ahead. No longer will there be battles with pain. No longer will there be battles with age. No longer will there be battles between one another. It's all going to change. That time will come. There are better days ahead. There will be no death. There will be no sorrow. There will be no hospitals, no funeral homes, no sickness, no disabilities, no anything. Oh my, oh my, oh my. Praise God. There are better days ahead. And we need to embrace that, because if we don't, if we get so downtrodden, if you will, by the things that goes on today, we feel like there's never anything good. If we look before us and all we see is a dark cloud, well, it's going to rain. We don't ever see anything good. It's all bad. Woe is me. No, not according to the Word of God. It's going to get better. There are better days. And if we look at this Word, we come to understand this is true because God said so. Because God said so. But in the meantime, that better day's coming. But in the process of getting there, We seem to hear a lot of groaning, if you will. We hear a lot of complaining, of unsurety and all this and that. We hear a lot of things. This passage here talks today about creation groaning. It talks about believers groaning. It talks about the Holy Spirit groaning. So what's all this groaning about? What's going on? What is being said here? Why is this groaning taking place? Well, let's look at these in all three parts. The certainty of what's happening here in the Word of God. Why is creation groaning? It is written in verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors. Think about what it says there. We know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. When we look at this word, when we see here what's going on, we think of the word groan. Immediately we begin to think of a pain or a discomfort. You know, we kind of know what that feels like if we don't feel good or we got something going on that's not great. There's a feeling that is there, and we have a great desire for it to go away. A feeling that is there that is uncomfortable. Things aren't good, you know, and we want it to go away. Sometimes that creates a groaning. Now, there are times, you know, also sometimes, you know, in people, we hear people sometimes groan just to get attention, right? You know, sometimes they groan and gripe and complain because they want that compassion. Sometimes they don't always get it, such as in the case of a young man who went to his dad and said, "Dad, I need a car." And he said, "Okay, I understand that. You're getting older. You need some things." He said, "But I got some requirements if we're going to talk about an automobile." He said, "Okay." He said, "What's that?" He said, "Well, first thing you got to do is get your grades up in school." He said, "You got to start doing better in school." He said, "You got to start reading your Bible, son. You need to know what the Lord's saying. And the third thing is you got to cut that hair." Well, a few weeks went by, and he came back and he said, "Dad, here's my report card, straight A's." He said, "Man, I'm proud of you, son." He said, and he started quoting some scriptures. He said, "Man, I've been reading my Bible." He said, "Yeah." He said, "I'm doing great." He said, "But boy, you hadn't cut that hair." He said, "Well, you know, Dad, I want to talk to you about that." He said, "I've been reading the Bible, man, and everybody I've seen there has got long hair." He said, "Yeah, but they walked everywhere they went." So, you know, so compassion didn't really come on that, but groaning oftentimes brings that. Here, Paul is talking about the groaning of all creation. In the beginning, all that God made was good, right? That's what he says. He says in Genesis 1:31, "Then God saw everything that he made, and indeed it was very good." But something happened. Something changed all that. Something messed it up, if you will, thinking about what's being said here. If we turn to Genesis chapter 3 and read just the first six verses, we see it says, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?'" Placing a little doubt, okay? "And she answered and said to the serpent, 'We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.' Then the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die.'" In other words, that's not what God meant. Come on now, you messed up. You didn't understand what he was saying. He says, "For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. It was right there that everything changed. It was right there in the midst of that garden, doing the one thing that God said not to do, that through this fall, sin entered the world. It changed everything. It was the one act, this one act of disobedience that makes creation still groan to this day. It is what changed everything. Creation is longing for its return to paradise. It is wanting to be back to what God's original plan was. Paradise, for a time, has been lost. It has been lost. Creation now has to suffer because of this one act, one act of disobedience against God, now things would change. There would be sickness upon those in the land. There would be sorrow. There would be death to all. The lands now would be filled with thorns and thistles. There'd be storms and earthquakes and disasters and disease, devastation all over because of one thing. Because of one act of disobedience. This fall, even greater, would put separation, or as the Bible says, enmity between God and man. His creation. It would change everything. It would put that same separation between man and the other creations of God, the animals. No longer would they be able to dwell in peace together. No longer would that be true. The groaning of nature, the groaning of the creation is a reminder of just how serious sin is, of just how serious God takes this subject, and how much this fall messed up everything. It really ought to make us understand God is real, and He's real serious when He says not to do something. Okay? We see the things happening in our world today, and we wonder why all the groaning. Because nobody's listening to God anymore. They're not listening. This groaning that we see happening in creation is a sign that it wants relief. When we groan about something, oh, I want it to stop. We want relief. Creation wants relief. It wants to return back to God had made it. The signs are present. God knows, and He has promised, and creation is knowing and telling us better days are on the way. Better days are on the way because God promised it was going to happen. When we are a person, if we see someone are in a life-threatening situation, I'll use the example of maybe drowning. Okay, you're struggling, you're screaming for help, you're crying out for help, you're looking for a rescue, deliverance, if you will. Creation is doing the same thing today. It is groaning, for it can tell that the time is near. It knows what God has promised, and it is telling us, I want to return. I want to return back to what God created. But it is also telling us the return of Jesus is getting close. It is telling us that all the time. Because when Jesus comes back, when He restores His rule on earth and He returns, paradise comes back. It comes back to the way that it was planned. Creation will be back to the way God intended for it to be. And it'll never be messed up again. That ought to make us get excited. You know, that ought to make us look forward and understand there indeed are better days coming. Jesus taught in Matthew 24, He says, for nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be, not maybe, but there will be famines and pestilences, which are diseases and all kinds of terrible things, earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginnings of sorrow. Creation is telling us today, time is near. Never have we seen in mankind history the things that are going on right now. The devastating storms, the illnesses now that nobody knows what they are. All these things going on, sickness and unrest, all the different things. A nation is definitely rising against nation, kingdom against kingdom. Every corner of the world is fighting. Nobody likes one another anymore. Jesus is on the way, friends. That's what creation is telling us. Creation is telling us, listen to me. Listen, because God has a message for you. It is telling us. It is groaning with the anticipation of a better day. And I don't know about you, but a better day would sure be welcomed. Amen? Isn't that what we want? Paul goes on to write. He says here of our original text, of our opening text for this morning, he says in verse 23, not only that, but we also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Not only is creation groaning, but believers are groaning. We who have come to know the Lord, we groan within ourselves. Why is that? Why is that? Because it would seem that as believers, as ones who accepted Christ, ones who have come to know and blood bought and sold out and come to know the Lord, it seems that we would have nothing to groan about. Ephesians 1 and 7 says, in Him we have redemption through the blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. All right, that's pretty exciting. You know, it says we have those things. It goes on to tell us here, if we understand, it says we're redeemed. We are forgiven of our sins because of what He has done for us, because of His finished work on the cross, His shed blood. We should be happy about that. We should be. We should be excited and joyous. Romans 5 and 1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. That's a pretty good place to be. You know, we want to have peace with God. It says we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We are justified. We are forgiven. We have peace with God. That ought to create a whole heap of joy, right? It ought to make us excited. We've been promised in John 14, it says, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Here, we've been assured, guaranteed, promised from God, I've got a home in heaven. I got a home in heaven. We ought to be filled with gladness. But yet still, there's a lot of groaning going on within the body. What is happening there? What is going on? Romans 3 and 10 says this, there is none righteous. No, not one. Romans 3 and 23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Why do we groan? We realize we are part of this fallen, sinful part of God's creation called mankind. We are part of that. We are involved with that. We groan for relief. We want relief. We groan for a time when we will no longer be apart from our Father, when we can be in His presence, no longer separated, a day that we can dwell with Him and Him with us. Hebrews 9 and 27 says, it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. We groan. We groan because of this fall that took place of no fault of our own, but all have suffered because of it. The suffering that this fall has brought to us, the pain and the heartache and the death, every one of us suffers right along with the rest of the world. Our relationship with the Lord, our salvation does not exempt us from this judgment. It doesn't exempt us from what is going on around us. This fall that was brought to God's creation, we groan within ourselves in an attempt, if you will, to express our desire for it to be over. We want to be back where God says is our home. We want to be back. I'm not talking about groaning, saying, oh, I wish I'd die this morning. No, I'm not talking about that. That's not what I'm talking about at all. We want that better day. We want that joy. We want that excitement. We want the things, the darkness and the grimness and all the things around us. We don't want to be a part of that anymore because Jesus said, if you are of me, you are no longer of the world. And we got to understand that. He said, you are no longer of the world because I have chosen you out of the world. That ought to make somebody get excited. When we think about what He's saying here. When we think about, we want to return to what God started. And when we read what it could be and we see what it is, that's what we want. We want to go back to what God said. Romans 8 and 18, if we go back to what was beginning in our passage today, it says, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy. It don't matter what's going on. I got a better day coming. Everything that's around me might not be good. Everything that's happening in the world may be depressing, discouraging, heartache. But praise God, I got a better day coming. And I got to believe that. We groan because we know. We know we can accept, embrace, completely encompass our life with this promise from God. There is better days ahead. There is. We have great anticipation for that. If we look forward to not only just the return of the Lord, but the return of peaceful and joyous living and no heartache and nobody grumbling and fussing with one another, no nation considering blowing up this or nobody hurting this person or nobody doing anything to a little one, none of these things. Think about that. How could you not want that? How could you not want that? We want the days that are promised in Revelation 21. Verses 3 and 4. That's what we want. He says this, "And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, no crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." Amen. Amen. We groan for that day. We want that because we want that. We look forward to that. And to that we have such a great desire that it creates that inner groan, that inner hurt, if you will, of anticipation. I want it so bad I can't stand it. I want it so bad I can't wait. I want it now. We have a desire. When we are sick, when we're not feeling well, we groan sometimes as a way to let other people know we really don't feel too good. You know, it can be done in different ways. It can be in a compassionate way, or it can be in a, well, we won't talk about that. But anyhow, but it is saying to those, I really want to feel better. I don't want this. I don't want this infirmity in my body. I don't want this illness. I don't want this ache or whatever the case. In life, as believers, we groan. We groan because we're telling God, I want to be with you. I want to be with you. I want to have what you offer. I want to be away from the hurt and the pain and the anguish of life. And unlike an illness that we may have, we're never 100% sure we're going to get better. Never. As it pertains to our health, we're never sure. We only can hope so. But as for our promise that is given here in the Word of God, our promise of a better day, we're guaranteed that's going to happen. We're guaranteed 100%. We move on. Likewise, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The Holy Spirit is groaning? Why? What is he doing? He's helping me and you out. He's helping us out. Paul writes here, we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Think of what it means when things in our life are not doing so well. Things aren't going real good, or we're really having a terrible day, and we find ourselves in prayer, but we really don't know what to say. Lord, I'm at a loss for words. I don't know what to say. You just find yourself frustrated. I don't know how to express myself. I don't know the right words. I don't really know how to get this feeling out of my heart. We don't know exactly what we need to say. Our mind is focused in on the problem. Our mind is focused in on the pain or the heartache or the despair that is going on in our life. And we might not have the right words. We might not know what to express, what to let God hear from us. We have a helper. We have a comforter, and he does know. And it is written here, the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He knows what is best for us. He knows what is to come before God, and he goes before God on our behalf and says what we can't. Isn't that great? Isn't that great that God loves us that much? He goes on to say in verse 26 here, he says, he helps in our weaknesses. Think about that. When we are weak, he is strong. When we are weak, that is at the point to where I can't go on anymore. I can't pick this up by myself. I can't carry this any further. Whatever the case may be, I just can't keep going. Troubles, problems, hurt, all of these things causes prayer to come to the forefront of the mind of a believer. Lord, we find ourselves in prayer. We're seeking God's counsel. We're seeking His wisdom. But we sometimes need help because it just doesn't seem to be working. This help that the Holy Spirit offers us, these groanings, if you will, they make our prayers effective. They're no longer just for me. They're no longer just my words or my thoughts or my frustrations about life. They are going before God. This groaning will go before God and change things. It will make our prayers effective. So what is with all this groaning? What's going on here? What will become of this groaning within creation, within the lives of the believer, within the Holy Spirit? What is going on here? Glory will follow the groaning. Glory will follow all the groanings of the creation of the believers. You see, creation is awaiting its return to paradise. It wants to go back to the way God intended for it to be. Believers are waiting to walk with Him in person. The days, the promise of Revelation 21. He will dwell with them. He will be their God. He will walk with them and they will walk with Him and be completely restored from the fall. All that washed away. The complete restoring of where it happened in the garden. The Holy Spirit is going before God on our behalf, and He is making our prayers as effective as they can possibly be. God sees our heart. He knows what's real. He's hearing the groanings of the Holy Spirit. One day, my friends, one day, and I believe that it could be at any moment, the angels will proclaim, "Behold, the Savior comes again." It will happen. It's going to happen, and our groanings are going to stop. They will cease, never to be again. Our time of hardships will never compare to what we are going to receive. Never compare to what we are going to receive. That day is getting closer and closer and closer every day. The Bible says in the center of the Bible, Psalm 118 and verse 8, "Put not your trust in man, but put it in God." Very, very wise words to adhere to in this day and time we're living in. We can wait today with great anticipation because we know without a doubt it will happen. We will not be disappointed because glory is on the way. It's on the way. Whew, I'm tired now. No, I'm just kidding. Praise God. If you believe that, tell the Lord amen. My friends, it's so easy. It is so easy to get caught up in this world and all the bad things, in the bad news, in the broken hearts, and all the things that seem to hinder our lives and bring us pain and worry and all this stuff. You know, we see everything falling down around us, and you know, the economic stuff is terrible, and gas is too expensive, and this is that, and this person got bad news at the doctor, and all. We got all this stuff that can distract us. But let me tell you something. If you focus on that, there's a better day ahead. There's a better day ahead. You know, it's just like when it rains. The rains come, the snow comes, whatever the case. No matter what the storm is, whether it's a rainstorm, a snowstorm, whether it's a tornado, a hurricane, an earthquake, whatever, every single natural event like that has one thing in common. It all comes to an end one day. Such will be life as we know it. And we can embrace what God's promise is. I'll be there. And nothing that you have gone through will compare to the glory that awaits you. Nothing. So no matter where you are in life, no matter what hurt you may have, no matter what hurt you have had, or no matter what you're going through right now, there is a better day ahead. Glory is on the way. Let us pray. Father, we love You. Thank you so much that you have given us this opportunity to be together this morning. And thank you, Lord, for the encouragement and the excitement of your word. Lord, I just get overjoyed. I can't contain it, Lord. And I believe that it's not to be contained. I believe, Lord, that we are to express your joy, Lord, as it is written, and not to be down about it, but, Lord, just to be lifted up, jumping and shouting, Lord, just excited about what it is that you have promised. Because, Lord, if we base our hopes on just what we see, we'll sure be disappointed. But, Lord, if we'll base our hopes on what you've promised, those things not yet seen, we certainly have a better day ahead. Father, we have this opportunity for an invitation now. And, Lord, I just pray with all my heart, with every ounce of love, concern, and realness in my heart, Lord, I pray if there be one here today who's suffering, Lord, one who is hurting, one who is, Lord, allowing the world, allowing the enemy, Lord, to take away their joy, being a joy stealer, Lord, that today they would let him go. Today, Lord, they would put him where he rightly belongs, under their feet. That today, Lord, they would embrace, Lord, and consume this promise, Lord, that one day glory awaits us, that one day it will be better. And, Lord, until then, that we would trudge along, Lord, go through whatever it is that we go through, Lord, but holding your hand, we indeed pray for that just a closer walk with thee this morning. And, Father, I pray if there be one here today who's never trusted you, who's never asked Christ in their heart, that today would be the day, Lord, that they would stop the suffering, Lord, stop the letting their joy being stolen, and stop, Lord, all these things that are hurting them, Lord, and give it to you, Lord. As your word says, cast our cares, our burdens upon you, Lord. May that be this morning. If there be one here, Lord, that needs a fresh touch, a word of encouragement, Lord, if they want to be interested, Lord, in not only becoming a part of this local body here, Lord, but becoming a part of the kingdom, Lord, that they would come. And, Lord, if they're hurting, Lord, if they have an illness, Lord, and need a fresh touch, a healing, Lord, that today, Lord, they would reach out to you as you are reaching out to them. Lord, we just give you this time of invitation. Pray that you would work in each heart, Lord. If there be one who has a question, a doubt, a worry of how to take care of these things, Lord, how to ask Jesus into their heart, Lord, they would come and speak to this pastor, Lord, or one of our dear leaders, Lord, that would lead them in that way. Lord, this altar is open. We give you this time. In the mighty, mighty, mighty name of Jesus, the one who will one day return, Lord, and bring us into his glory, we ask it in his name. Amen and amen. May you stand, please, as we close.